A psalm of praise. I'm reading from the New International Version tonight. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. Our Father God, we do lift up our voices in praise to you. We praise you for those occasions for praise that we have heard tonight. And many here, Father, who have occasion to praise you and yet who did not say anything, and yet in their hearts they rejoice in you and praise you. They praise you in that they are in God's house to offer praise to God. There may be some here tonight who feel that they have no reason to praise you, or whose spirits are overwhelmed, which are dulled, or have become dry and insensitive, and just don't seem to be able to praise you. Father, may the psalmist's words minister to them tonight as we would hold up to you this congregation here gathered and those of your people who are not with us tonight. We pray for your church. We pray that it would be a church that thrives on the praises of God. We pray that wherever your people are scattered tonight or throughout this week, that those looking at them may have occasion to praise the God of heaven and of earth because of their presence. We do pray for those who are suffering in mind or body or spirit. We pray for the work and the ministry of this congregation. We pray for the pulpit ministry. We pray for the educational ministry in the Sunday school and the Bible studies, the midweek, the young couples, the international students, the youth work, the music ministry. We pray that our purpose may be to promote the worship and the glory of God. We pray that you would be pleased through the various ministries to cause those who do not know you to come to faith in Christ. We pray, Father, for those outposts, whether in the United States or in foreign countries, places where your word is being held forth, or where there are believers who desire to hear and benefit from the ministry of your word. We pray for those outposts. We pray for Colombia. We pray for the Tarquinos as they prepare in their ministry at Reform to go back to Colombia. We pray for the session of this church, that they would be good and godly men. We pray for the deacons, for their meek and for their humble service to Christ and to His church. We do hold up the places in Gadsden where there needs to be a testimony for Christ in neighborhoods, communities, where we may have an impact through a small group Bible study or through a personal reaching out to touch the lives of someone else. We pray for Collinsville Church. We pray that you would be pleased in your sovereign grace to revive and renew the Reformed work there in Collinsville. We pray for our sister churches here in Gadsden, for Eastside and for the Rainbow Church. We pray, Lord, for the churches that are being established in Birmingham and around Huntsville, that you would prosper them. We thank you tonight that we can gather in your name, and we pray that our thoughts and our focus may indeed be upon you. Help us not to be distracted by the thoughts of the night or tomorrow or even what goes on around us, but help us to give ourselves to this moment and to the preaching of your Spirit to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. This psalm has been called a hymn of compassion and love, a hymn of God's compassion and love. The theme for the psalm is verse 4. Where it says, He crowns you with love and compassion. This psalm has been compared to mountain peaks. If the other psalms represent the Blue Ridge Mountains, then Psalm number 103 is the Mount Mitchell, the highest peak among the Blue Ridge. Charles Spurgeon said that the pen of 1,000 writers could never expound what is contained in Psalm 103. The words, the theme, love and compassion occur time and again throughout this psalm. In verse 4, love and compassion. In verse 8, the Lord is compassionate. In verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children. Again in verse 13, so the Lord has compassion. In verse 4, he crowns you with love. In verse 11, so great is his love for those who fear him. Again in verse 17, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. The length of this psalm is determined by the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 verses to go with this psalm. As we consider the psalm, we see that it divides itself up into three main portions. First, there is a call to praise in verses 1 and 2. We find the call to praise repeated in verses 20 through 22. Then we have some personal benefits of God's love and compassion in verses 3 through 5. And then in full flower, David breaks into a great praise to God in verse 6 for his benefits to all of his people, verse 6 all the way through verse 19. Consider firstly the call to praise that David gives us in verses 1 and 2. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. The psalm is framed, as it were, if we could put it in a frame, with verses 1 and 2, and then with verses 20 through 22. For David returns to the theme of praise to God in those verses. When he says, praise the Lord, you his angels, praise the Lord, his heavenly host, praise the Lord, all the works, praise the Lord, O my soul. In his call to praise in verses 1 and 2, he first directs his own attention inwardly. When he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. In the Hebrew, the verse literally would be translated this way. Instead of praise the Lord, O my soul, it would be translated like this. Praise my soul, the Lord. David looks at himself and he says, soul, praise, and then he looks out from himself to the object of his praise, who is God. But first he looks inward and he says, praise my soul, all my inmost being, praise the Lord. Another example of that looking within and exhorting oneself is Psalm 42, where the psalmist says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, who is the health of thy countenance and thy God. One of the first steps in learning to praise God is teaching one's own soul and one's own mind to begin to praise God. He says, all that is within me. What is included in you that should learn to praise God? There is your conscience. Tell your conscience to praise God. Do you have trouble praising God? Tell your judgments to praise God, and don't be so quick to pass judgment on others. Tell your imagination to praise God. your affections and your desires and your memory and your thoughts and your hope and your senses and then your word and then your acts, all of these things come together. When David says, praise my inmost being, praise God. He directs his call to himself. I wonder if David was not rather, as some have suggested, just overflowing with praise at this point, if David was not rather feeling a dullness in his soul. He did not feel like praising God. And so he turns to himself and he upbraids himself and he says, praise the Lord. My conscience and my desires and my mind and my imagination and my words and my acts and my thoughts, let everything within me praise God. The word for soul in the Hebrew is nephesh. And it doesn't mean just the soul as separated from the body. The nephesh in the Hebrew was the whole person, the total life. So that my whole being would offer praise to God. As we sing in the hymn, take my life, take my feet, take my hands, take my tongue, and let them all be for the praise of Almighty God. Let all of life praise Him. Are you letting all of your life praise God tonight? Do your relationships with other people praise God? Do you offer praise to God even for your problems? As we heard one testimony tonight that Brenda shared, that she was praising God for her unanswered prayer. How many of us ask God and ask God and ask God and seem to have no answer? Have we learned to say, Father, I thank you that you have not answered this because I know that you're so wise and that you're so good, that you're going to provide something for me that is extraordinary. Of course, we can praise God for our blessings. But how many of us tonight praise God when the seam begins to come apart? You know, when I was a boy, we used to have sandlot baseball. Actually, it was softball. And since none of us had very much money, we always played with one softball. And we would play with that ball until the cover started coming off. The seam would start breaking, and we would even hold on to the seam in order to pitch it. And we would throw it, and finally somebody would knock the cover off. And then it was just a ball of string. And we'd play with it until the string started coming apart and then the cotton inside would begin to come loose. Did you all know that there was that much in a softball? You know, when I think of problems and things coming loose in life, I think of that softball which is just coming apart. Can you praise God when life begins to come apart for you and say, God, I still trust you, your goodness and your power. I believe David, as we said, was one who is experiencing a dullness in his soul, and so he looked to himself and he said, self, praise God, self, get hold of yourself. Why are you so down? What right have you to be discouraged and depressed and blue and down when God is your Father? And then David begins a list of personal benefits as the second part of this psalm in verses 3-5. Negatively, he says in verse 3, he says, praise the Lord who forgives all of your sins. I want to say to you, if you did not have another reason to praise the Lord for in your life, other than this one, it is enough to change your life. If everything in life were bad for you and you were suffering all kinds of adversity, if this was all you got, do you know that this is enough? As he says in verse 10, he says he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. But what does he do in verse 11? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. You know the little chorus? God's love is very wonderful. So high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. That is God's love. That is God's compassion. And if that were all that we received, then, dear friend, that would be enough for us. He not only, though, forgives our sins, look also at the second part of verse 3, where it says, he heals all of your diseases. That says to me that he ministers to the soul, forgives your sin. But he also ministers to the body. He heals your diseases. He removes the curse from your soul by forgiving you. And he removes the curse from your body by healing you. I listened to somebody in the past 2 weeks who had been healed by God. It's true they had surgery. It's true they had very serious surgery. It is true that they had cancer, but they had been healed through medical means. And they were so happy. And they were so full of praise that they brought the preacher a pie. You know, I'm sure that they would give that pie to God. And I'm not making any suggestions when you want to praise to God that you need to bring the preachers up. But I talked to another person in this past couple of weeks who received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this person was so full of praise because their soul was healed. This person was in the hospital. They were not healed physically. But what David says, he forgives all of your sins, all of your sins, past, present, future, they all come under the blood, and he heals all of your diseases. If not now, then ultimately, finally, he will heal your diseases. But he does one other thing. He redeems your life from the pit. The pit is the grave. Have you ever stopped to think how close you have come to death in your life? I can recall as a young boy of 8 years old when I had spinal meningitis and was in the hospital for week upon week upon week. And at that time, people were dying and I came so close. I can remember in a car accident in Meridian, Mississippi, and that car spinning around, ducking down behind the back of that car, waiting at any moment to make an impact into the rain, into the fog. Landing on the side of a cliff, the car parked. There was hardly room to open the door and step out. Can you recall times Well, let me tell you, God and His angels have been protecting you from death so many times. You have had so many close calls, I know. Then you can praise God. And that's what David says. He redeemed your life from the pit today, but finally He will give you an ultimate cure in that He will lift you up from the pit to everlasting life in the resurrection. Not only does He do those things, but He does some positive things. Those were negative. What does He do positively? He crowns you with love and compassion. The word love there is the same word that is used in the book of Hosea. I know that's not significant to you, but you will be when I tell you what it means. The word in Hebrew is chesed, H-S-D, chesed. And it's translated covenant mercy. And it's the kind of love, if you remember the event in the book of Hosea, do you remember it? Do you remember when the prophet Hosea took a wife who was a prostitute and he married her and she started prostituting again? And she was selling herself, and she was on the selling blocks in downtown Jerusalem. And Hosea came up to the selling blocks, and do you know what he did? You wicked prostitute! That's not what he did. He took his money, and he paid the price that it cost to buy his prostitute wife back. That is chesed. That is the kind of love that God has for you and me. For when He says He crowns you with love, it means He found you a sinner. And He found you, as it were, on the blocks as a prostitute, a spiritual prostitute. And He paid the price to bring you into His family. And the price that He paid was His own precious blood to buy you. You have no right to yourself. You have no right to your own opinion. You have no right to do with your body or your spirit or your mind whatever you want to do, for you have been bought and paid for, and you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But He also has compassion. The word for compassion here, if you have the King James, is translated tender mercies. And the word tender mercies is a good translation, because in the original, it's actually a plural form. Tender mercies or compassion. I think that can be illustrated by an event that happened one time around some men who were building a road. And in order to make the road angle just right around a granite mountain, they had to blow up part of the mountain. And so they set the charges into this huge boulder. And it so happened that as they had set the charge to go off and they all moved away from it, that a little girl came walking around the road right by where that boulder was and the explosive was to go off. And the men began to yell at the little girl, "Look out!" And you know what a little child will do in that instance. Freeze right there. Now the men were merciful in saying, in shouting to this little girl. But do you know what the mother did? The mother said, "Sweetheart, come to mommy." And the little girl came running to her mother. The men had mercy, but they didn't have tender mercy. God's mercy is tender. His love is a love as Hosea loved his wife, and his mercy is tender as that mother. It is compassion. Just as the woman who had compassion on the child as they stood before Solomon, and Solomon said, "Well, cut the child in two, give one half to one mother and the other half to the other mother." But the real mother had pity, had compassion on the child. In the same way, the Bible says God, as a father, pities or has compassion upon us. He has compassion on us as sinners. That's what the text says in the third part, that he separates our sin from us, but he also has compassion on us as men. Look in verse 15. "For as a man his days, as for man his days are like grass." God remembers that we're like dust. We are proud as we think about the animals and the life that crawls and creeps around us. We think how clever we are and how great we are. But you see, when you think about God and the fact that He is an eternal being and He is permanent, why, we're just pitiful. It's pitiful that we turn simply back to dust. So God pities us, and He has compassion on us. And that's why He provided His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had compassion on us as sinners, and He had compassion on us as human beings, that we would not rest in the grave, but that we would be resurrected physically, bodily, from the dead, and our sins would be wiped away. And then David returns finally to his praise, and after exhorting himself to praise, and he says, "Soul, praise God. Just consider all of His benefits to you." He then looks without of himself. You ever looked out of your window as you sat there reading your Bible and having devotions, about to have prayer, and exhorted the universe and the trees and the birds and the grass? Praise God. Praise God, tree. Praise God, animals. That's what the psalmist did and David did. Praise Him, heavenly host. Praise Him, all the works of His dominion. Praise the Lord. The psalmist, this psalm is a response to the benedictions of God, to His benefits, to His love and compassion. David responded by saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." What is your response to God's benedictions to you tonight? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Amen. Let's pray. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Let all of us here together with one heart lift our voices spiritually, inwardly, and our minds to You in praising You for such great love, for such compassion, such tender mercy, that You have had pity upon us as sinners and pity upon us as mere mortals, that You would give to us Your Son to forgive us of our sin and to raise us out of the dust on the last day. We praise You, O Father God. We praise You for all of Your benefits toward us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.